This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Thaddeus McCarter of American Greatness, a recovering politician in Michigan. And we have news from the Democratic Party, led by Joe Biden, President of the United States, that the presidential primary calendar for 2024 has now been rearranged. The explanation is it's more diverse. Going first for the Democrats will be the state of South Carolina. After that, Nevada, New Hampshire, Georgia, and Michigan. I do not have the calendar for the Republican Party. I don't think it's settled yet. However, Michigan has always been moved up. The question is, why is Joe Biden, for diversity, rearranging the primary calendar? The cynical approach is that he's sentimental about South Carolina. You will recall he finished fifth or sixth or seventh or something in New Hampshire in the primaries of 2020, left New Hampshire, even though he had appointments to talk to MSNBC, CNN and other cameras. He left it early and flew right to South Carolina, where he was endorsed by the Democratic Party, and that began his rise to be the nominee for the Democrats and now the president. So the cynical, sentimental version is that he wants to repeat his triumph. Is that enough, that is?
Well, John, as you and I have discussed, I have a vastly different view of Mr. Biden than many people do. And I would think that many Republicans share this, but the Republicans have kind of a schizophrenia regarding Mr. Biden. My belief is that Mr. Biden is not necessarily as sharp as he used to be. I don't believe he's some cynical, cunning politician cutting all these deals and rearranging the map of the Democratic 2024 primary to suit his interests. I think he's not going to be the nominee. I think he was intended as a one-term president. And I think that when he's done with his policies and with the political reshaping that he's doing, they're going to pack him off as a scapegoat with all his collective sins, send him out to the wilderness. And the Democrats are going to say, well, we got rid of him. Let's all vote for Gavin Newsom because he's something new and better. At the end of the day, what we're going to see, the big winner of all this is the triumph of intersectionality, identity politics over traditional economic interests, geographic interests that have traditionally dominated the primaries of both parties. And the big winner of all this is going to be Barack Obama. Because we talked about, especially South Carolina, some of these other states moving up, they're going to have a large, immense African-American vote to help determine who the primary nominee is going, who the standard bearer of the Democrats is going to be. And Barack Obama is the singular individual who has the most sway within that constituency. So his endorsement, either overtly or covertly, is going to make all the difference to give someone the momentum they need to carry on through and win. And then when the president is in office, he will be beholden to Barack Obama, much the same as Joe Biden is currently. And if they lose, he will then still be important down the road to help nominate the next individual. So that's my view of this. And I know that a lot of people like to say, well, Joe Biden's doing this. I say, well, you can't say Joe Biden is cognitively not as sharp as he used to be, and then turn around and say he's Machiavelli. That's not how this works.
Let me get this order correct. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden rearranges the primary calendar. He was pictured in the event.
Joe Biden didn't do it.
And he raises his the hand of his vice president in victory, and they're applauded. However, your observation is that he is not going to be a candidate, and he will step aside for Harris. Is Harris going to be the nominee?
Oh, no. The nominee is going to be Gavin Newsom. Well, I don't know. I'm going to have to see what Team Obama wants. But at the end of the day, it's not going to be Joe Biden. Now, look, if you're Joe Biden or if you're the people behind him, or if you're Barack Obama and you want to make sure that the president still has some juice, he can't say that he's not going to be the nominee. He has to do everything he can to say that he's going to be the nominee. But Ron Klain leaving tells me he's not going to be the nominee. Everything he's done from day one tells me he's not going to be the nominee. The way that they had to guide him through this process, the way at the end they had to bury the Hunter Biden laptop story, the way that the administrative state had to lie about it and pretend that it's Russian disinformation or give that hint that it was to stop the story so that he could get passed. No, everything tells me he was designed to be a one-term president, and that's exactly what's going to happen.
And the South Carolina primary that has a voice in this, primarily because it's a diverse, from the Democratic point of view, it's not diverse at all. It's a progressive vote associated with a non-white majority in the Democratic Party. And Nevada and New Hampshire come next. Iowa is being cut out. Now, Thaddeus, that's cutting out the farm vote, correct? That's risky.
It's also going to be very interesting to see how New Hampshire takes being pushed back and not being the first primary in the nation, too. So the Democrats have made their decision. It's going to be interesting to see if there are general election consequences for it. But the other thing a lot of people miss, too, and this is another reason I believe that my Obama conclusion is accurate, is if President Obama, much like President Trump, was able to endorse people that had little money, little success, and all of a sudden they became able to win primaries because they had Donald Trump's endorsement. It's going to be even bigger when if you go into South Carolina. You don't need a whole lot of time to have President Obama endorse you and win that primary and to have the money start coming in because people will know. And he may not even have to do it personally. He may be able to hang back and Mr. Clyburn do it like they did with Biden. But at the end, I don't think Mr. Clyburn unilaterally decided he was going to play kingmaker without certainly having the input of the Obama team.
And Michigan, is the Michigan Party, the Democratic Party, is that obedient to Barack Obama's tastes?
Well, you have a large African-American vote here in Michigan, obviously. And again, while people focus on the influence of Donald Trump, which may or may not be ebbing within the Republican Party, his ability to play kingmaker, especially given what happened in 2022, that is not the case with Barack Obama, President Obama. President Obama was a historical figure, whether you liked him or not. The fact remains he was the first African-American president of the United States. He's a leader of the Democratic Party. He's always going to be a force in the Democratic Party so long as he chooses to be. And right now he chooses to be. And so that power and influence has not gone away. If anything, it's increased.
Between now and June is when we expect candidates to come forward. Do you anticipate that Mr. Biden will step aside and endorse someone or step aside and then wait for the party to choose?
Again, because of the ability of Barack Obama and his team in South Carolina, you can wait till after June, especially if you have somebody that they like. And I'm not saying that this is the case, but let's say that the Obama team really, really likes Gavin Newsom, right? He's the governor of California. He doesn't have to declare in June if he knows that he's going to get the support of the Obama team in the South Carolina primary. He can wait, and the money will still be there, and the endorsement will be there, and he doesn't have to do anything in June, which would then allow Biden to continue to pretend that he's going to run again so that he can maximize anybody who believes that, leverage anybody who may believe that in Congress for their vote. But as time goes on, it becomes less and less of a factor. But I don't think we're going under the old rules, John. The rules are changing as we speak. Even this discussion shows how the rules have been changing. And you have to adapt to them, which is something I would like to remind the RNC you might want to do sometime.
Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness, Human Events. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.